21 minutes past seven. Donald Trump has announced that he's fired his national security adviser, John Bolton, adding that he disagreed strongly with him. I asked John for his resignation, which was given to me this morning, he tweeted, saying he will appoint a replacement next week. But John Bolton insisted that he had quit and vowed to have his say in due course. Well, knowing Mr. Bolton, I've interviewed him several times, I suspect he will have his say indeed. Well, joining us now, Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent, with the very latest. Simon.
No shrinking violet, that John Bolton, Ian. I think if President Trump thinks that he's going to go silently into the night, he's going to be sorely disappointed. And indeed, the rancor that has been on display behind the walls of the White House for the past several weeks has spilled out into a public disagreement over whether he was fired or whether he went of his own volition. And the emerging facts seem to support John Bolton's contention that the president lied when he took to Twitter just a few hours ago to announce that he had informed John Bolton last night that his services are no longer needed at the White House. I disagreed strongly with many of his suggestions, wrote President Trump, as did others in the administration, and therefore I asked John for his resignation, which was given to me this morning. Now, the reason why that version of events seems not necessarily to be true is because John Bolton was working away perfectly normally at the White House this morning, overseeing meetings within the purview of his responsibilities as the president's national security advisor. He is telling reporters that the president is flatly wrong to say that he was asked to resign. I offered to resign last night, John Bolton said. He never asked me to resign directly or indirectly. I slept on it and resigned this morning. He says that his departure is due to an accumulation of things. That's certainly true, but the straw that appears to have broken the camel's back is disagreement over President Trump's decision first to invite the Taliban to Camp David, and then that invitation, of course, was rescinded in the face of opposition to the idea from men like John Bolton. At the White House, John Bolton, we were told, was actually going to be briefing reporters alongside Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. Of course, by the time the briefing actually took place, John Bolton had been told to leave the building and was no longer in his role. And that left Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who we are told has not been on speaking terms with John Bolton for a good long while, positively thrilled about the fact that the president has rid himself of a turbulent national security advisor.
I'll leave to the president to talk about the reasons he made the decision, but I would say this: the president's entitled to the staff that he wants at any moment. This is a staff person who works directly for the president of the United States, and he should have people that he trusts and values and whose efforts and judgments benefit him in delivering American foreign policy.
And if you see the pictures of that appearance, you'll see Mike Pompeo literally beaming over the news that John Bolton is no longer going to be part of the White House national security team. John Bolton's name should be familiar to everyone, not just because he's been a hawkish and conservative advisor to President Donald Trump on foreign policy, but of course because he's the archetypal neoconservative, the man who behind the scenes worked very intensively to encourage President George W. Bush to invade Saddam Hussein's Iraq. So, with John Bolton gone, is the way now clear for a more dovish approach to U.S. foreign policy? The Secretary of State didn't sound quite so sure about that.
These have been the president's policies. We give him our best wisdom. We share with him our understanding. When I was intelligence director, we did our best to make sure he had the facts and data available so he could make good decisions. But I don't think any leader around the world should make any assumption that because someone of us departs, that President Trump's foreign policy will change in a material way.
The proof of the pudding will be in the eating, however. Is it possible now that President Trump might go ahead and embrace the suggestion of the French President Emmanuel Macron that he should meet the Iranian President Hassan Rouhani? We know that John Bolton was implacably opposed to that idea. Donald Trump's had very little to say about it since it was floated at the G7 summit in Biarritz. Let's see what happens when President Trump heads to the United United Nations General Assembly later this month. President Rouhani is also expected to be there. Other areas of policy that this is likely to impact: Venezuela. John Bolton overpromised the outlook for a coup by Juan Guaido against Nicolas Maduro. Nicolas Maduro, of course, remains president of Venezuela. And let's not forget that it was John Bolton who just a matter of days ago was in Britain for talks with Boris Johnson's officials, insisting that the way was clear for a free trade agreement between the United States and the UK once Britain departs the European Union. Who would have guessed at the time, Ian, that John Bolton would be departing the White House before Boris Johnson's date with destiny on October the 31st?
Simon James has texted to say, with all these gongs thrown around of late, Ian, isn't it about time Simon Marks received something? I'm not quite sure what.
What kind of a something?
I think I'll just say thank you to Sir Simon Marks. Simon, thank you. That's Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent.